Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everybody. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights. We started the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013, and every Sunday we invite you to participate in our weekly conference calls. The number to dial in is area code 712-432-1500, and those conference calls take place every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the number to dial in is area code 712-432-1500, and the access code is 220981#. We ask that you please feel free to reach out to us on Facebook as Sign of the Times, the UAC, and myself as Queen Tahira. We are available also via email, sign, the letter O, the times, 19@gmail.com. And we also invite you to please make your $10 monthly donation to keep Sign of the Times on the air via that same email address, sign, O, the times, 19@gmail.com. And our PayPal account. We appreciate all the contributions that have been made thus far, and we appreciate your support. Also, this month we have two additional sponsors. One of them is Manhood, Race, and Culture, which is facilitated by Dr. James Jones, who is my co-host every Tuesday night. Manhood, Race, and Culture can be reached at also on Facebook and manhoodraceculture.com. And James Jones can be reached directly at jamesjonesohio@yahoo.com. Our second sponsor is Unity Design. Unity Design has a host of products that they have available, T-shirts, pants, different trinkets and things like that that represent the African image and, of course, the RBG image as well. Unity Design can be reached online at unitydesign.com, and Unity is spelled UNITEE design.com. Arlie Gordon can be reached on Facebook as well as his phone number at 734-396-3879. So we're going to hear a brief advertisement from Unity Design, and then we're going to kick off our broadcast tonight with Barry Isaacs. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening.
Put this on YouTube.
Yeah.
You heard this, dude.
And you know this, man.
I believe our greatest need as a people is to educate our youth. I believe that we need to move from all of the individuals and groups who are doing great things in their communities to uplift kids through better education, but we need to move from fragmentation to consolidation to coalition. They are simply products that help to create awareness.
Anytime you can put a symbol on a T-shirt that symbolizes unity, that's what we're doing.
Something for people to rally around. I use the colors of red, black, and green to reconnect African-American youth with their culture. How do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been and what you've been through as a people? At best, we are strongest together. And in that sense, I am driven and passionate about talking to as many people and groups all over this country who, again, want to help to maximize the mission, want to help to move forward our kids with better educational opportunities.
All right, welcome back to Sign of the Times, everybody. This is Queen Tahira. And tonight we have joining us our special guest, Brother Barry Isaacs, CEO, Director of Hope for Change. Peace, Brother Barry. How are you doing tonight?
All right, how you doing?
Great, great. Thank you. I just want to first off thank you for opening the doors of Hope for Change in Cincinnati and being creative and having enough vision to realize that something like Hope for Change is very much needed, especially when it comes to the education of our children. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, not a problem.
I say. So, Barry, I see that you are CEO and CBDO, and you're also listed as a trauma specialist. So tell us a little bit about you so we can get to know who's running Hope for Change Academy.
Okay. My name is Barry Isaacs. I am the CEO and founder of Hope for Change Development Group, where we work with a lot of misplaced kids. We have a developmental disability services agency. We have a charter school. We have a community center. And we also do extensive technology education with a lot of our students who go to our academy. So we have kindergarten through 12th grade charter school that we work with the youth inside of the community.
Ashe. So you say K to 12. So what are the demographics like? What are the students like that you have there?
A lot of the students that we have are basically from the inner city. But we do get students out more towards like the Fairfield area because we provide transportation as well. Our school is normally offered for a lot of the kids who gone through some type of level of trauma with some of their life. If they have been placed in foster care, if they have been may have been young and made some bad decisions and choices inside of their life or whatever the case may be. We work with a lot of kids like that.
Okay. So can you tell us the overall goal and purpose of Hope for Change is to do what?
Well, we're changing the perspective. A lot of these kids have gone through some level of trauma inside of their lives, and we design programs to show them a different way of life and different perspective, but also building on their own individuality of as an individual. So if you're inside of the school and your focus is art or music, we hook you up with a life coach that actually teaches you that trade so you can get ready for, I'm saying, your lifestyle of what you want to create for yourself.
Wow. Nice. So you have mentors that are involved as well.
Yes.
That's nice. And so what's the age? Are you seeing more younger children come to your academy, or are you seeing a lot of, like, preteens or teenagers? What's the age range?
Both. So we have from kindergarten, which is 5, all the way up to high school age. So with the creative design of the technology school, a lot of my students can come at different time periods because of their education. A lot of the educational tools are on the computer, and then they also get a life coach.
Nice. Wow. So where did this vision come from, Brother Barry? I mean, was it out of the need to address a particular issue, or was it something that you yourself experienced in the normal public school system?
A little bit of both. When I was in school, when I was younger, it was never a school that, as I felt as or learned that I may have a little ADD. It was never a school that could, in a sense, target my creativity as far as being able to grow, build, and see life bigger than what was in my normal environment. So a little bit of it came from that. A little bit of it came from seeing a different perspective. I was blessed as a child to have a mother that allowed me to go to a lot of different schools. And a school that I was at, I seen a different perspective from the school that I was at. And when I had my first job working as a family personal support specialist I was like 21 or 22 years old, I worked inside of a school. And inside of that school, it necessarily taught me that life is not the same in every school or every educational environment. So me being able to be in different educational environments as a child and see the difference from one educational system to the next educational system, I knew something had to be done.
Mhm. Yeah, we see a lot of different programs and things like that seem to raise their heads every few years. On average, about every 3 to 4 years, it seems like the public school system is picking up a new way of teaching or a new way of learning, and it's almost as if they continuously have to start over from square one with training the teachers to getting the children acclimated to the particular testing that's required. So what makes Hope for Change different than the normal public school system?
Each one of the students gets on a individual development plan, no matter where you are, and we plan for your perspective of life and where you want to go in life more so than systematics. Our school is entrepreneurship school, so we're trying to teach in entrepreneurship and taking a different perspective on life and how to build and grow and develop. Business, how to build and grow and develop yourself, how to look at yourself as a business, how to have a different perspective on life, no matter what or where you've came from.
Mm-hmm. So depending on what the student's particular interests are is how you cater the curriculum. Is that correct?
Correct.
Wow, that's nice. So it does allow them to be able to use their creativity, which as African students, and I'm assuming that the majority of your students are African American?
Yes.
So it allows them to learn hands-on with something that they're already interested in.
That's correct.
And how have the results been?
As far as their development is building and growing, we are working because a lot of their platforms are on the computer. We work on a lot of one-on-one development with pulling and teaching the education on twofold, being able to pull the information offline and do book work, but also be able to manage their online courses. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of getting them used to what's going on, what position they will be in inside of the 21st century, which everything will be on a technology platform.
I see. Yeah. So I see a quote here, Brother Barry. It says, serving to change the story. Explain that to me.
If you look at traditional education and you look at the stories of how life has been between all the way up until this time as far as opportunity coming to children, something needs to change. And when you change opportunity, you change people's perspective. I'm saying you change the story. I'm saying a lot of the stories is them saying I will only arise to what I've seen or what I've done inside of my life as far as my environment. I'm saying letting them see things that are much greater outside their environment and may not come from the same picture of I'm saying what they'll see on TV. Like me as a individual, my appearance is not the same appearance of what you would see as I'm saying. Modern day success image, so they get to see a different perspective on life.
Wow. Okay. So, how long have you had the school now?
I've had the school for a year. This is our first year. Well, I've had the Hope for Change Academy for a year. I had to Hope for Change Development Group first. And I had a community center inside of my facility where we offered programming to the community. So we would have soccer, dance, boxing. We had recording studio, production studio. So we had a lot of different programs with average of about 600 kids coming into the community center. And also when we had the community center, we had partnered with a community school, which was Life Skills, and we was the satellite site for Life Skills. So a lot of Life Skills students will come to Hope for Change. So that was necessarily the first, I guess, creation of the school, was from all the programming things that we had inside the facility that the kids were already interested in coming to.
Mhm.
So it just
pretty much
branched off of that.
Okay. You so the activities that you all have are not just for the children that attend the academy. Children who are a part of the community come and participate as well.
Correct.
That's nice. Okay. So you said boxing. You all have boxing, dance, and what are some of the other creative activities that you all have?
Video production. We have a recording studio. We have an event center, so a lot of the kids, like some of the kids, help design and create the events. So it's pretty much like a big, huge production house.
Mm-hmm. Now give people an idea when you say the facility, give them an idea of how much space you're actually working with. And for those that are familiar with Cincinnati, please describe exactly where you're located.
I have the old National Guard's Armory building, so we sit on, 3 acres of land and 35,000 square foot building.
So, I mean, you've got a lot of space for a lot of children, and you could potentially affect a lot of lives that way.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's,
so
how's
your
mission?
Go ahead.
I said the mission is to help change lives. That is the mission of the organization.
Okay. So how much support do you have from the community and the parents of the youth that you have there at the center?
Well, since 2009, I was a private organization, so it was me self-funding the organization so the organization could be here. As far as support, not until I went public back in 2014, did a lot of people necessarily know about the program because I was more so focused on having a good product that did something did what it said it did. It wasn't just all about the politics. So it was about me investing my own money and making sure that we created something that was actually going to do what it said it was going to do. You get a lot of people who have good intentions but don't know can't go through with what it really takes to change a life. Transforming a seed is not a easy job. And not everybody can do that.
So what are some of your challenges then?
The only challenge is that we manage is, like I was talking to you when you was on the talk show, is just behavior. You and you're in constant battle with assisting with the management of how do we get what they see on TV or are distracted with on a day-to-day basis and manage the trauma of day-to-day life, what they experience every day, and not even realizing the effects of life or what they have gone through or what level of life they are currently on because of the environments that they live in.
So tell us more about the young people. What are they like and how have you noticed them being at the academy change them?
You get out the frustration. Like one of my students, he didn't have such a good background. He got in serious trouble at a young age, and he could never be reached. He was always in the streets, now he has a good relationship with his counselor. She comes, she sees him, she works with him on a day-to-day basis. He comes here every day, so this is a place where he wants to be at. And a lot of students, if this place wasn't here, they wouldn't be in school. They would be probably I drop out or I'm not seeing a different perspective of life.
Mhm. So if the parent has a youngster that needs to be in school but has been turned off by the public school system, how would they get in contact with you, and what's that process like?
Just calling the 513-861-4673 number, and like we'll sit down and have a consultation and just really see what differences in life. What I'm saying, like literally writing to change the story. I'm saying, like one is, I'm saying, a lot of us, we don't have a plan. We don't lay down the plan for our life. We just let life hit us as it comes. And I'm saying planning and working towards something always the times helps change people's perspectives. Like I was in a meeting the other day. I'm saying if people know better, they'll do better. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's feeding the knowledge of, I'm saying, you can have better for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And do you accept volunteers?
Yes, we accept volunteers.
Okay, so if folks want to volunteer, do they just come directly to the school? Should they bring a background check? What do you require?
They have to call and go through the application process. We do require you to have get a background check. They will have to go to the HR department, and the HR department will be able to assist them with whatever their needs are.
Mhm. Okay. Okay, and then the number again to the school is area code 513-861-4673, and the address is 4100 Reading Road, and as Brother Isaac says, it's in the Bond Hill area in the old National Guard Armory, correct?
Correct. We're in the heart of the city. We are in the middle of Paddock Hills, North Avondale, Bond Hill, and Norwood. So we're in the middle of everything.
Wow, so you've got quite a, what is the 43, what buses come by you, 43?
The 43 and the 17.
Okay, great, okay. So public transportation is not an issue, everybody. You can get directly
And we provide transportation as well. And so we have our own bus. And we also have a good relationship with American Bus that we can get some buses over here for the children.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Sign of the Times with Queen Tahira. Tonight our guest is Brother Barry Isaac, CEO and Director of Hope for Change, Hope for Change Academy, and Hope for Change Development Group. Now, as far as what you see, again, with some of the students, like you said, that may not even be in school if it were not for the fact that Hope for Change was there, have you done any studies, or do you know anything about what we know as the school-to-prison pipeline? And if so, how do you see yourself affecting that in any sort of way?
I wanted to do the alternative. And I don't think that, like, we all complain about necessarily the things that happen inside the community or whatever the case may be, but no one wants to work towards developing an alternative. Like, what is the alternative? What is the thing that is going to filter out the problems that we deal with and that we cannot solve? And I'm saying, who's going to be the soldiers that actually work towards solving the problem? And I'm saying, and not sitting back and complaining or watching, but actually building something that's going to have a pipeline that, you know what I'm saying, you can go to jail or you can go to Hope for Change. I'm saying you have a different option than having to go down the path that changes the story that affects your life for the rest of your life that you never get back.
Mhm. So so you do get some what they call juvenile offenders there at Hope for Change, huh?
We do get some children who have had serious backgrounds. Like I said, we don't get the behavior because we're in a different environment.
Mhm.
So it's easy to change a perspective of life when you can see something different.
That's right. I would agree with that, definitely, definitely. I always tell people, I've had a youth program in Over the Rhine since 1996, and I tell people all the time that I get the best results from the children who, you know, the school system might have given up on them, even their parents to a certain extent, have you know, washed their hands. But I get the best results out of those children because you're right. When you show them better, they know how to do better. And surprisingly, even when you challenge some of the quote-unquote behavioral children, you know, that makes them excel and causes them to realize something great in themselves. So tell us something about how do you discipline the children when there is an issue or if there is something that comes up? What do you do to problem solve?
Well, we don't have that many issues because of the way that the school is structured. I'm saying you have a lot of relationships as far as community. I'm saying so you're able to with the design of the facility, you're able to build community. So you really don't have those that level of behavior issues.
Mhm. That's good. So you see an improvement.
You have everybody that holds everybody else accountable.
Mhm. That's important.
Yeah.
So if there is something that comes up, then they usually can, you know, work it out and problem solve on their own without it escalating. Ashe.
Right.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. So are the majority of your students male or female?
We got a mixture of male and female.
Okay. Well, I know one of the things that was done in the school here in OTR was this boot camp was set up to address the need of discipline. So do you agree or disagree with that kind of concept?
What do you mean?
Well, they actually partnered with the Cincinnati Police Department and juvenile court, and they took, you know, a group of children who they perceived to have disciplinary issues and basically put them in a 6-week boot camp where they had the policeman come in and really talk very, in my opinion, disrespectfully to the children. They basically treated them like they were in a real live military police training boot camp. They had them exercise. They had them do drills. They had them, you know, under the command of a police officer, a sergeant. That's what they did. And that was their attempt at addressing discipline issues in the school. Was to send these children, even if some of them hadn't quite gotten suspended or gotten, you know, ISS or
But that also can create resentment. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you can also create other, you know what I'm saying, issues from, you know what I'm saying, that type of experience.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I actually was volunteering at that school and could no longer tolerate the administration. I homeschooled my twins for 4 years because, a public school teacher had put her hands on my youngest daughter. And so I homeschooled for 4 years in taking my children out of the public school system. But hope for change wasn't around then. I wish it was. I think it would have made a tremendous difference in my children's lives. And, you know, I was an involved parent. Had Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and did the field trip things with the school. And, you know, I was like team mom, like, you know, PTA and all that. And I got expelled from the school. I wasn't even allowed to come on the property, you know, after the teacher put her hands on my daughter. And I went through every system that was in place. I went to Parents for Public Schools. I went to the Cincinnati Public School Board. I went even to Children's Hospital, you know, because my daughter, my youngest, was having problems with concentrating and things like that, she needed some extra care in her learning. But no, nobody would help me because they knew that this was potentially a high-profile situation. It was like, you know, they would rather have their alliances stay in place than discipline one of the teachers, especially when it comes to challenging the teachers that are protected by the teachers union. So when you say that there's a need for hope for change in order to change the story, I know from personal experience, hope for change is long, long, long overdue and long overdue. And I pray that you get the support and, you know, we'll do all I can to support you because I know, like I said, from personal experience, the kind of negative effect something that my children experience can have on young people for the rest of their lives. And I protested that boot camp. I protested it even with the Overrun Community Council, and it was as if I was, you know, I might as well had a bird on my head. It was as though, you know, we're going to do this because this is what we've been funded to do, and, you know, this is how we roll. So,
But some people just haven't seen a different way. Some ways have been around so long that people believe that, you know what I'm saying, this is the way that it should be done because of, you know I'm saying, this is what we're used to. People don't think change is really real. You know what I'm saying? So some people just don't even attempt. It's different to not see the other side because you don't think that it's real because no one wants to do the work because it's a lot of work. It's not easy. Like I said before, it's not easy in saying changing a story or changing a seed to see life a different way. So within saying that, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people feel like this is the way
you cut out a little bit.
I said this is the way that things have been managed, so they don't see a different perspective. It's not that they're bad people. You know what I'm saying? They just don't see a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. So why is it so easy for our children to be, if you will, you know, painted this way? I mean, they would. Whoever the they are, they would never do that in a suburban school. They would never do that in a wealthy community, you know, where rich folks live. So why is it that they felt comfortable enough to impose something like that on our children? I think they probably would have been a lot more creative about their problem solving and the solutions they came up with. Do you agree?
Yeah,
I think you cut out again.
No, I didn't cut out. Yeah, yes, I agree. I agree to the level of that. Yes, they owe the responsibility of looking at the disciplinary actions, but if we're talking about people who have gotten in a position that are used to their ways of life and necessarily haven't seen a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, I'm saying, they should be the ones that's out of the position, and we can't allow people to be the people that are.
All right, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. Again, our guest tonight is Brother Barry Isaacs. You're listening to Sign of the Times. This is Queen Tahira. We'll be right back.
Put this on YouTube.
Yeah.
You heard this, dude.
Brother, sister, there's got to be
man. I believe our greatest need as a people is to educate our youth. I believe that we need to move from all of the individuals and groups who are doing great things in their communities to uplift kids through better education, but we need to move from fragmentation to consolidation to coalition. They are simply products that help to create awareness.
Anytime you can put a symbol on a t-shirt that symbolizes unity, that's what we're doing.
Something for people to rally around. I use the colors of red, black, and green to reconnect African-American youth with their culture. How do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been and what you've been through as a people? At best, we are strongest together. And in that sense, I am driven and passionate about talking to as many people and groups all over this country who, again, want to help to maximize the mission, want to help to move forward our kids with better educational opportunities.
Welcome back to Sign of the Times, everybody. This is Queen Tahira. Welcome back, Brother Isaac. We appreciate your time tonight, and we appreciate you sharing what Hope for Change Academy and Hope for Change Development Group is all about. For those that are listening online, please feel free to hit us up in the chat room. You also can call in. The number to dial is area code 917-889-8059, 917-889-8059, and please push 1. For those that are listening now on the phone, you can push 1 if you have a question or a comment for Brother Barry. So, Brother Barry, what are some of your future plans for Hope for Change Academy?
Keep developing the space where we're currently in as far as Cincinnati is concerned, but I also want to move it into different cities because the need is not necessarily just inside of Cincinnati, Ohio. So just get in with some investors to be able to take it in and place it in every city across the United States.
Okay. So, do you have a time frame, or have you looked at any particular city so far?
Yes, we went to New Orleans. We also have went to Florida, and we looked at a place as well as Arizona. So we haven't decided which one that we're going to yet, but that's what we're looking at right now.
Nice. Well, was there anything that we left out that you wanted to let the listeners know, specifically speaking about the academy, and then we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the business development piece.
Okay. If you know any children that have been truant or necessarily are struggling as far as educationally inside the educational system and want a different alternative or something different that is greatly needed in the 21st century, don't hesitate to give me a call. Again, that number is 513-526-8330.
Okay, thank you very much. And again, he is located in Cincinnati, Ohio. How comfortable can the parents feel to just knock on the door? What are the hours that you're in operation?
We're here from 9 to 9, Monday through Friday. And we are also here on Saturdays from 9 to 7. And then we're closed by appointments on Sundays.
You must have a pretty awesome staff. Tell us about the people that work for you.
What do you mean?
I said you must have a pretty awesome staff to be open 7 days a week.
Oh, yes. We have a great staff. A lot of the staff have been working inside the community for about 4 or 5 years. A lot of the staff that's been working here have been working here for a whole period of time of Hope for Change. I mean, Hope for Change is a real community-based organization, so everybody, like, grows up with the space.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got someone who has pushed one. Would you like to take a question or a comment?
Yes.
All right. Please, Brother Mike X, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, sis, I'm here. I'm doing okay. How you doing, sis?
Great. Thank you for chiming in. What's going on?
I'm really here. You know, honestly speaking, I haven't had a chance to be on the line that long, but, you know, I know how important, you know, Sign of the Times, you know, and its mission and the dialogue that Sign of the Times strives to promote amongst, you know, Black/African people is, you know, so I definitely, you know, just wanted to check in with the family tonight. And I caught a little bit of what, the good brother was saying. If you could get me up to speed just a little bit, you know, maybe I could, you know, frame a better question or comment.
Okay.
Peace.
Yeah. Well, Brother Barry Isaac is CEO and director of an organization here called Hope for Change. He has a dynamic alternative school for young people who may be struggling in the public school system or just may need a creative way to gain their education. He has everything from social services to transportation, business development classes, studio, open space for performances and things like that. So he's taken a comprehensive approach to solving the need for our children to be educated in an environment that respects the way we learn as a people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was that a music studio?
A production studio, yes.
Well, that's definitely, you know, I think we had mentioned that a little bit last night on last night's dialogue, you know, that, you know, music, culture, you know, performing arts, you know, that's definitely something that our young people are interested in, you know, and if you could find a way to use that as a hook, you know, to capture their interest, you know, you already got them interested, you know, then you could come in with, you know, the core, you know, materials that they need to know, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, culture, so on and so forth. So it sounds like a strong and positive initiative, brother, and I definitely wish you all the best. And I pray that also, you know, that the people who are listening, you know, to what you're laying out, you know, might be able to reach out to you, take some notes, and maybe, you know, I heard that you said you might want to expand in the future, you know, and if there's some, you know, strong, positive brothers and sisters who are on the ground in some of those prospective cities that you mentioned, you know, I would hope that they would, you know, take this opportunity to reach out to you and, you know, to build the possibility of helping you expand the way you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the topics that we've discussed this week extensively is literacy and the need to improve comprehensively when it comes to politics, economics, of course, education, and socially, the gap, if you will, from generation to generation. It seems like our children are being progressively dumbed down. So what is your approach to improving, if you will, literacy there at Hope for Change?
Well, utilizing what is already is going to be surrounding them walking into the 21st century. And so you got to realize that we're not fighting just against a educational platform that's not already transforming as we speak. You know what I'm saying? With tools and technology that they're going to be surrounded in, providing them with the education on how to use these tools and use these tools to learn. We have a great deal of educational tools that helps individuals develop from our green room. So we can design specific educational models that we want and film them in our green room, and then break them down into DVD form, which then our kids get to take these platforms home and learn them while they're at home. So we always get to be creative how we deliver education to our students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about if I can, Sister Queen? I'm interested in knowing about, you know, the strength of the parental involvement, you know, because I know, unfortunately, in a lot of urban cities, you know, particularly amongst black and brown people, you know, education has been a taboo topic, you know, like we're not, you know, we don't see that as our, you know, as our key to success anymore in a lot of these urban areas, you know, and a lot of times, from what I've seen, because I've been working with young people for a few decades now, a lot of times I see where the parents have, you know, basically from both spectrums, you know, whether the parent has basically checked out of society and is not striving to, you know, seek employment or empowerment, or even if, you know, the parent has been forced to work, you know, two jobs, you know. A lot of times the parental involvement is very small, you know, and what this has done is it has allowed a lot of times in these urban areas for, you know, bureaucracies, whether it's national, you know, federal bureaucracies or state, city and local bureaucracies, you know, to basically dictate, you know, what is going to happen, you know, as far as the curriculums and things of that nature is concerned. So, you know, I was just, you know, wondering, like, what is the strength of the parent participation in helping to, you know, strengthen your initiative?
As far as the community, because of the needs, you don't get participation because there's a lot of life going on in the parents' lives. And so you go in as an assistant to assist in the areas that, you know, may be a neglect. So you build a community. It's more so where you get the involvement with the parents. I can get a phone call from one of my parents stating that, I'm saying, that the child may need to, I'm saying, stay after school for a couple hours and she has to work or whatever the case may be. You get a lot of different type of flexibility when you have more of a community environment, you know what I'm saying? You don't get a lot of the community involvement, you know what I'm saying, because it's like going to private school.
Okay. Well, you know, I hope that people are listening. I'm sorry, Sis Cass.
No, I was just going to ask him about your quote from Brother Malcolm and ask him what he thought about the quote and what he could recommend for waking people up. So you want to talk to him a little bit about that? I'd just like to hear his opinion.
As far as, I'm saying, education, that's necessarily been the key. Yeah, but that is true. But we also have to teach our children on how to build their own and study law and study, how to detach themselves and have a larger perspective. A lot of times is we limited their focus to what we normally see for ourselves. And when we brought in their perspective and we opened up their eyes to life, I'm saying, being different through a different perspective, that's how you necessarily transform the seed. Education is a great tool to use, but it's not just about the education. It's about the drive and the ability and to want better for myself.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
I feel you. And I feel you. That's why I asked you about the parental involvement. You know, I think that, you know, with parental involvement and with parents striving harder to, you know, to back educational initiatives,
mm-hmm.
Not just with their mouths, but with actions, you know, this will help our young people to, you know, begin to get more serious and focused, you know.
And
about
you also going to get to go to the level of the fact that you have to wake the parents up. Instead, allow the parents, because of generational things that has already happened, I'm saying, are still asleep to the fact that, you know, I'm saying, this behavior that you are delivering has been putting you into your system. So you have to also mold the whole family. It's not just, you know what I'm saying, the kids that you got to realize that have been affected. The family has been affected. So you have to even pull them back in to realization, like, we can't act like this as a culture.
Well, thank you, brother, because that's what I was driving at. You know, I think a lot of times we put a heck of a load on our young people to somehow by osmosis get their act together when, you know, a lot of, you know, generations that came before them, you know, have been involved in a cycle of, you
mm-hmm.
know, a downward spiral. And, you know, but now, you know, I have hope that, you know, a lot of us are waking up, and you are, you know, I like what I'm hearing from you. And the more efforts that we make, such as the one that you're making, you know, it definitely challenges us across the board, not just our young people, but our parents and adults, you know, to also step up and to take ownership over their lives, you know, and what, you know, is going on in their particular neighborhoods where they're living, you know. So,
you know, like, if we didn't give them an excuse to, you know, I'm saying, point the finger, then I'm saying a lot of the stuff would diminish. You know what I'm saying, like, we can't open up reasoning for behavior. Even when people give you opportunity to change your perspective or your environment or your life, you know what I'm saying, looking at the benefits of that, we may have to go. It may be a little bit of a struggle to get where you got to go. But, you know what I'm saying, but somebody gonna have to go through the pain sooner or later.
Yeah, so what are some of the techniques that you found? Because that's one of the hurdles that we are looking at, too, as the UAC. Brother Mike X quotes Malcolm about waking up the sleeping people. And we realized that, you know, when Malcolm said that, you know, the technology wasn't the same, the access to information wasn't the same, the access to resources, it wasn't the same. So how do we, what are some of the things that you've done to wake people up?
But it's not always good. Like, you have
right.
to realize that, you know what I'm saying, you may wake somebody up into reality of a situation that they can't manage. Everybody is not meant to be woken up because, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people can't handle reality. I'm saying, to understand that you're stuck in the system. I think it's going to be leaders to lead a people out. That's what's going to be the solution. You need more people awake that's willing to lead people in a direction. Because we can't create any more a war amongst ourselves. Because I'm saying that's a reflection of what we're seeing already.
Well, you know, brother, I agree with you, you know, and you know, rhetorical terms, I agree with what you're saying. But, you know, if we don't do what we must to challenge our people, and, you know, to quote the sister Queen is talking about, not challenge them based upon our ideologies, you know,
mm-hmm.
or based upon our understanding, but strive to meet them where they are at and, you know, strive to challenge them to, you know, take a greater human dignity and self-worth, you know, in their own selves, so that when they begin to see the conditions that we are living in as opposed to the conditions that other races and ethnicities are living
yeah,
under.
But I'm saying, I look at life at a holistic perspective.
Brother,
I work with individuals who have gone through high levels of trauma. And so a lot of my individuals that I've worked with in the past from from them going through high levels of trauma. When they go through a level of waking up to reality, sometimes it causes more damage.
Hey brother, I'm sorry, family, and I just want to say briefly, we just having a dialogue, brother, and I've never met you before. This is my first time talking to you, and I'm definitely just as sincere and interested as you are, in coming up with the solutions, that we can apply, to our struggle. And, we got to listen to each other speak just as much as we want to speak, mm-hmm. I mean? So, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I also know and believe that if we continue to make, what can ultimately become excuses, for a lack of effort on the part of our people, we keep whatever the impediments are, to us growing and transforming ourselves and our communities in place. You know what I mean? We know that we live in an injustice system. We know that there has been a system of white supremacy, imposed upon us, particularly in the society. But we also know that system of white supremacy or injustice or injustice is not going to go away by itself. The people who perpetuated this thing in a generational way, passing it, their power down to their children and passing our powerlessness down, to generations and generations, they're not going to go back and change things. So this is why I'm so excited about your initiative. But also at the same time, we definitely have to strive to help people, the parents themselves, to take advantage of, supporting initiatives like yours, to take advantage of the process of participating in their own liberation. You know what I mean? So that's all I'm saying, family. We're praying that through all of the shows that we've done, I don't know if you've heard any of the other shows, we're just praying that we're bringing up principles and standards and insight, and information that will call out to the spirits, of our people, for them to decide that they want to be better than what they're allowing themselves to be. So, I don't want to make more excuses for our people than they need. Like, the blame is the system. The responsibility for getting up is ours. That's all I'm saying. I want us to take greater responsibility and accountability. And staying stuck in a position of blame, doesn't, allow us to move forward into the position of, responsibility and accountability. I knocked that man down, and I was wrong for knocking him down. But if the blow that didn't kill him and he lays on his back, for an hour, 2 hours, a day, 3 days, a week, and he's still laying on his back and he's alive and he hasn't lost his capacity to reason and think, and he's still laying on his back. After a while, he has to take ownership of some of the blame for not getting back up, And this is kind of what, we're asking our people to recognize, that we got to take a greater responsibility. No matter what has been done to us, we have to take the responsibility of applying a greater consciousness, a greater unity to our lives and the lives of our people. So, that's all I'm saying, family. And, again, I'm going to fall back and listen to what you're saying. Peace and blessings.
Brother Isaacs, I know that some of the children that are a part of the academy have gone through traumatic circumstances. And for those who, who reality is too much for them to bear, how can we continue to engage them, or is it, from your experience, is it best for them to wait until they're ready to be engaged and allow them to step up on their own?
It's a process. I have individuals that I've worked with for years, it's a process. Everything is a process. To them, it was more so a healing process that they had to go through, to understand that they wasn't going to go through those same experiences again. I'm talking about working with individuals with schizophrenic, bipolar, multiple person disabilities, and them being in a state of consciousness and understanding that life has been them saying they have gone through a high level of war inside of their life, and it causes more effect. It causes more damage than good.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we was able to balance life out to where they can see a different perspective was, you know what I'm saying, just instilling positive relationships, community, and a different perspective of life in their life, so they can see a totally different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So everything is a process.
Yeah, and we've talked about the fact that we're all suffering from a certain amount of post-traumatic stress just from living every day as African people.
It happens as a mental illness. You know what I'm saying? You go through a high level of trauma and you get used to it. I'm saying, so to get out that level of trauma, I'm saying, you have to be surrounded by, I'm saying, a totally different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And only way we build a different perspective if we move as a unity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, like build businesses, and that's why I focus on entrepreneurship. Because you have to be able to, why have we not went into other arenas that, you know what I'm saying, other white supremacists rule over? Running our own companies, going inside of technology, going inside of education, dominating in healthcare, playing those games that's going to create an advantage to move the race forward.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, if someone again is interested in getting in contact with you, can you give your number out one more time, please?
The number is 513-861-4673.
Okay. All right. Sit tight. We've got another caller. 9154. Peace. Is this Brother Roman?
Yes, it is. How's everyone? Greetings, Queen. And greetings to your guest, Brother Barry Isaacs. Brother Mike, how's everybody?
All right.
Good. Listen, I am very happy that you are participating in this, that you are engaged in this, that you've got this thing going. You mentioned that, I believe you mentioned earlier, that you do accept volunteers to assist in certain ways. And I'm assuming that if I intend on meeting with you and you can tell me more so of what I can do to assist you. I'm in my 50s. I looking for avenues to engage our young people, because they're our future. You know, we can't let them go. I respect you very much for what you're doing. Now, are the hours that you operate limited? You mentioned something about parents calling you and asking can their children stay after school, because I will be probably limited to evening hours.
No, there's not a time that we're limited.
I'm sorry?
No, there's not a time.
Okay. Well, great then. I'm right here in Cincinnati. I know exactly where you're located. I've not been inside since it's been your facility, since you've been operating there. I look forward to working with you, and we will meet up soon.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I like the entrepreneurial spirit that you take towards this. There's a lot of things that we can do for ourselves that we depend on. The mainstream society to provide for us, whether it's our food, our clothing, our shelter. You know, I've got a little bit. I'm not not a doctor of anything. I'm not a master of any trade in particular. You know, but I like the idea of us being able to produce food for ourselves, clothing for ourselves, even home repair and remodeling. I've got a little bit of background in some of those things. So I look forward to assisting you because I feel like it's my responsibility. And if Sister Queen Tahira can give you my information, I didn't have an ink pen with me when you were I got one now. 513-861.
Yeah, 4673.
4673. Okay. I'll be in touch with you, and I appreciate you and much respect to what you're doing.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
I'll yield.
I say. All right. Well, I'll leave you open in case you decide you want to chime back in. Brother Mike X, your mic is open still as well. And so, Brother Barry, I want to ask you this. As far as your experience as a trauma specialist, how has that helped you gain a different level of understanding as far as working with our children?
Because the behaviors are not different. The trauma is not different. It's just we are used to it. So you use the same skills that you would use working with, I'm saying, one of my individuals who have gone through a high level of trauma inside of their life. It's the same thing. It's just on different levels. So you treat it the same. And with a lot of my students, because there's so much community, there's so much. It's so much the feeling of, I'm saying, I'm safe. I'm saying a lot of the kids, I'm saying, it's out of the neighborhood. I can't go outside. I'm saying I can't be a kid. I can't do A, B, C, and D, I'm saying, because of the effects of my environment. So when I get into a place where I can feel safe and be myself and find self, then I can be educated and learn and develop and grow and move past the trauma and experience that I've had inside of my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're in an attack all day long from the environments that they are living in. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to place them in a situation where they feel safe and it's a different perspective and it's a different environment and they experience different, you know what I'm saying, they can see life different and be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a process.
Ashe. And you're absolutely right. Again, going back to Dr. Joy DeGruy, breaking things down as to the why of our particular condition, if children are able to learn, how to cope too and realize that a lot of the things that they're experiencing are societal issues more so than, you know, them being quote-unquote bad or misbehaved children, I think that alone takes off a lot of pressure off of them. To realize that, you know, a lot of the things that are in their environment are definitely not their fault or responsibility.
And when they get to see a different perspective of life and they get fed that food on a constant basis, you start seeing a transformation. You start seeing the desire to want more. You start seeing the desire to do better with my life. I'm saying I can do stuff for my family. I'm saying I can be empowered. I can grow. I'm saying I can be better than what everybody else looks at me as. Not holding any excuse. I'm saying because with technology and with everything that's out there, you know what I'm saying, we can build and grow and develop as a race, you know what I'm saying, using knowledge to transform ourselves to a higher platform.
Okay, so we've spoken a lot about the Academy. Okay, so tell us about Hope for Change Development Group.
So Hope for Change Development Group, what I do is I work with young entrepreneurs and showing them how to create and develop businesses. A lot of times is because we are so behind time, we are not forward thinking as far as I'm saying how our business are going to be affected in the 21st century. I'm saying being familiar with the law, being able to manage logistics as far as a business is concerned. So I'm saying as a community and bringing the elders and people who have been in business. Getting partners and alliances until when you bring a seed, I'm saying we'll bring you everything you need to make sure the seed is properly being molded and planted into the ground, so it's actually going to grow and manifest fruit. I'm saying giving business advice. So we have SBNA meetings with our team, and we mixed all different businesses that we have relationships with, and they provide services to each other, and we're able to what I say is rebuilding Black Wall Street.
So tell us more about the 2015 Black Wall Street. What does it look like, and what will it look like?
Going into different areas of business that we educating ourselves as far as different areas of business that we necessarily haven't dominated in, as going into the business arena and dominating on a business platform just as well as we dominate on an entertainment platform. It's really, you know, saying moving the race forward.
Mm-hmm. So you walk through developing a business plan if someone has just an idea in mind, or should they be prepared already with a business plan?
No, we take it from seed stage. Like I have a lot of interns that are young adults, they're young entrepreneurs. We may have if you're trying to be a promoter, because we have the arena, so we utilize the arena for a lot of our promoters. So they get the space. We teach them business. They learn business. They learn what it takes to be a promoter. We have a photo studio and a recording studio and a video studio. So we use those same trades. We have a U-Haul company. We have a man who also does franchising. We have an auto garage. We are also partnered with a barber school, partnered with a transportation company. So I'm saying all these services, I'm saying we as a community educate each other, I'm saying, on different levels of business, I'm saying, so we can produce more businesses.
So do you have resources and investors as well?
Yes.
And what's the age range of the people that you work with?
From kindergarten all the way to, I'll say, 60. We have a elderly nursing program as well.
Okay. So as far as developing the business plan, you take, say, one of the children in the academy had an idea for a business. You would nurture that idea as a business and try to help them to further develop it?
Correct. Because you gotta realize that, you know what I'm saying, business comes from, you know what I'm saying, the seed of idea. And really, you know, no different than them being able to create an event. And that was, well, that's why it was so important for me to have, you know what I'm saying, any event space, because the kids that I work with, they get to see things from nothing. They get to see things that exist from nothing but pure thought. So they have a thought of something that they want to do, and then they see it actually be created. So they actually get to see that by thought and by what I thought, I can create a business. This is what I've seen, and I've been around it, and I've seen it be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why events for us was a big important element to our school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because in the moment, in the time, I was able to build a creation.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the business development, and are you limited only to doing business at the academy? Or are you looking at other cities and other communities as well for that too?
No, we didn't. Everything will be all the same. So we said we will build communities. We won't necessarily be just building a business. We will be building communities. So it can be necessarily a holistic transformation. It's too much of a mental illness for it to be tackled just, you know what I'm saying, in one area. It's in all areas that we have to transform. You know what I'm saying? So you have to build something that, you know what I'm saying, transforms the seed in all areas.
Mhm. And again, people want to get Ashe. And you're talking about when you say a lifestyle change. Now, a lot of us were influenced by our parents, who were influenced by their parents, and so on and so forth. So you're not just saying you want to affect the students or the people who participate in the development group necessarily. Again, your approach is holistic, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So in 10 years from now, where do you see the development group being?
Like I said, well, in 2 years from now, hopefully, like I said, the development group will be in at least touching every state. Once I'm able to get more investors to be involved in the project, I want to plant one in every state. I also want to franchise and develop and give other people opportunities to run similar Hope for Changes, so we can have one, like I said, in every state.
All right. Now, do you have a website, and are you on Facebook as well?
I am on Facebook. We have a intranet site that is inside the school. It's not on a public network. So I don't have a website per se, but I do have a Facebook. It's Hope Change Founder. That's Hope, H-O-P-E, Founder, F-O-U-N-D-E-R. And that's it.
So, Hope Founder, H-O-P-E, F-O-U-N-D-E-R on Facebook.
Yes.
All right. Well, Brother Roman, Brother Mike X, your mics are still open. Did you have any other questions or comments for our guests?
No, I don't have any more questions. I just, you know, have well wishes, you know, and pray that you keep pushing and striving and, you know, continue to expand and offer those opportunities, you know, to the people who need it the most. You know, have a blessed one.
Thank you.
Brother Roman's probably muted. I want to ask you, since you have the studio there, and I'm sure you're familiar, you know, with hip-hop and what inspired hip hop to come to fruition in the first place? Do you see hip hop being used as a tool in the educational process and in waking our people up? And if so, You know, what has your approach been with avoiding some of the mainstream hip-hop but making it more conscious and more educational for our kids?
Everything that we – every platform that we're on is necessarily a tool on all levels to embrace and change the culture. Yes, hip-hop has a huge influence and responsibility on the education of the children. So with the new rising conscious music and supporting more conscious artists that are speaking against what we know is reality, then that will start to transform what we see as far as life. So artists do have a huge responsibility.
Ashe. So do you have some, are any of the artists that are there at the Academy, do they have music that we can listen to, or is it possible for me to maybe come and pick up some of the music that has been produced there at the Academy?
Yeah, I can. They haven't, they don't have like any CDs out yet, because they're not at that level of their education. But some of our students have had some audio recording done, so I can definitely get you some of that.
Okay, that sounds good, because that's another thing that we do. We like to, get some exposure for conscious hip-hop and talent that's out here. We've featured Griff Lamar and a few other people who are about empowerment and engaging on a whole other level. Our definition of hip-hop is higher infinite power, healing our people. And so that's, one thing that Brother Mike X and I have talked about a lot on Sign of the Times, and how to engage hip-hop in creating solutions.
It's definitely needed. Right now, that is probably one of the biggest influences that we have, the biggest platform of influence that we have to be able to reach the culture. And that's what they listen to, so you have to be able to speak to them at their level. So being able to use that platform to help mold and develop and shape our children and wake them up is genius.
Okay. Well, thank you again for joining Sign of the Times this evening. Thank you to all of the callers and listeners for participating in tonight's broadcast. And again, if you should like to reach out to Hope for Change Academy and Hope for Change Development Group, their address here in Cincinnati, Ohio is 4100 Redding Road, 45229, and their phone number is area code 513-861-4673. And so what about, let me ask you this one last question, I just thought about it. What if, children are completely happy with the public school system, but they still want to try something different? They don't necessarily have to have had some discipline issues or things like that to come to
no,
hope for
no,
change.
No. So that is the area that I specialize in. But we have kids who come from all over. We have some kids who come from Monroe. We have kids who come from Dayton. We have kids who come from Kentucky. We have kids who come from everywhere. So we get a lot of mixed culture of children who come from everywhere who also enjoy the services. We have a soccer program called Jenga. We have a golf program. So we have a lot of different services and stuff that we do. We have a coding as far as C++ that some of the kids do to learn coding so they can be up with what goes on in the 21st century. So we have a lot of different services. We have a summer camp that we have going on in the summer. We have a paintball organization. They do paintball and stuff in the back. So we get a lot of mixture of a lot of different kids.
Ashe. Do you conduct any adult literacy there?
Yes, we do. We do it as far as the entrepreneurship and business education. We have a school for adults who haven't gotten their high school diploma.
Uh-huh.
And it's still interested in getting their high school diploma. We have cooking classes that go on from our chef. And we also have different entrepreneurs who they do their own classes as well. So I have a talk show called Label TV where I bring on different entrepreneurs and talk to them about business on a talk show. And then I also have different students. They do their own talk shows and they talk about business or their particular business that they're in.
Great. Well, again, everybody, the number to get in touch with Hope for Change Academy is area code 513-861-4673. The address is 4100 Reading Road, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45229. Please reach out to Brother Barry Isaacs. He definitely is committed to what he says and serving to change the story because, you know, We've been in this condition for far, far too long. So we wish you the best here from Sign of the Times and the UAC, and we're glad to have forged this relationship with you, and we're looking forward to brighter and better things in the future. So thank you again, Brother Barry, and we wish you well. Thank you again, Brother Mike X and Brother Roman, for chiming in. For those who are available tomorrow night at 6 p.m., we are going to be live and in living color with my Ifa family here. My Bob is here in Cincinnati, so we're going to be discussing Ifa and spirituality tomorrow, so it ought to be pretty engaging. So with that being said, again, thank you, Brother Barry, for joining us this evening, and I'm sure you'll be back soon to tell us, give us an update on where things are with Hope for Change.
All righty, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Ashe. Okay, so everybody, we'll see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Sign of the Times. This is Queen Tahira signing off for the night. We'll see you soon. Peace.
Peace. Way.
deserted, not a sound, not sign of life. Oh, how you long to hear your mother's voice, 'cause you're lost and alone. But remember, you made the choice. Don't.